and taking a look at some of the songs, the great songs of Scripture, as we find them in the book of Psalms. And we're going to look at one today, the 103rd Psalm. And so I invite you to open your Bibles where we will find it. Not as eloquently as Joel read it, but the way we would find it as a translation of the Hebrew. Listen to the Word of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor He will keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant to remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. I love music. I was backpacking with my daughter and her family last week up in Yellowstone. We saw grizzly bear, we saw moose, we saw elk, we slept with the mosquitoes. And there's a lot of music in the backcountry. But my granddaughter, I don't get it. She was carrying one of those cell phones that had music in it. And she is walking down the trail in the midst of all this beautiful music that God was trying to make. And she had her headphones on and was kind of rocking down the trail with her music. Thank God the battery went dead in 2 days. But why? I like music. I like all kinds of music. I think God likes all kinds of music. I checked out the internet to see what the top 10 hits of 2018 were. And they told me, I didn't know any of them. They said, here they are, Sicko Mode, Make Me Feel, Come On To Me, Charity, Mariner's Apartment Complex, Nice For What, Never Be The Same, I Like It, Shallow, and In My Feelings. How many here have ever heard any of those? Raise your hand. Come on, you can do it. We had one in the first. Come on, get it up. One over here. Anybody? Two. Any of the rest of them? Top 10 of the year 2018. Well, Actually, I did a little more research and found out the top 10 list of the top 10 country tunes that were almost a hit. Achy Breaky Brain, Roadkill Stomp, Beer Never Broke My Heart, It's Been So Lonely in My Saddle Since My Horse Died, My Best Friend Ran Off With My Wife and I Miss Him. I was told that if you take country western music and play it backwards, you'll get your dog back, you'll get your truck back, and you get your wife back. That's a pretty good deal, don't you think? Indeed, indeed, indeed. In the Salt Lake City, we did a survey of the congregation to see what were their favorite hymns, and they gave me their favorite hymns. And maybe they are your favorite hymns, too. Amazing Grace, Morning is Broken, Here I Am, A Mighty Fortress, How Great Thou Art. And then there's this other, the top 10 hymns for those who are over 50. They are The Old Rugged Face, Precious Lord, Take My Hand and Help Me Get Up, It Is Well With My Soul, But My Back's Killing Me, Nobody Knows the Trouble I Have Seen, Amazing Grace, Considering My Age, Just a Slower Walk with Thee, Count Your Many Birthdays, Name Them One by One, Go Tell It on the Mountain and Speak Up a Little Louder, Give Me That Old Timer's Religion, Blessed Insurance, and Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, I've Forgotten Where I Parked the Car Again. Well, those were the top 10 according to the internet, which is never wrong. But you know, God loves music. I love music, and I'm assuming that you love music. But the point is that music is a huge and powerful vehicle for communicating. Communicating all kinds of feelings of joy and sorrow, of peace and anxiety, of pain and sorrow. I mean, it is a powerful vehicle which God has given and that God's people have used down through the years, through the ages. You know, Christianity has loved and used the Psalms, which were written about 1000 B.C. at the time of King David. That these Psalms were then collected together, and the best of them were collected into this book called the Book of Psalms, 150 of the very best. And we read one of them here this morning. When I was over in Scotland a couple of years ago, in the Isle of Skye in Portree, visiting my wife's cousin, I went and worshipped with the Free Scots, the Free Kirk. Now, the Free Kirk are great Christians, the great Scottish Christians, but they don't have any pianos. They don't have any guitars. They don't have any drums. They don't have any organs. In fact, they think there's no instruments in worship at all, just the Psalms. But these Psalms, the ones they use, are from the Scottish Psalter. And the Scottish Psalter takes every one of the Scottish Psalms and puts it into the Scottish dialect in a poetry form, in a meter that can be used again and again and again. So you can use the same tune for all 150 of the Psalms. Here's the 103rd Psalm, at least a part of it, from the Scottish Psalter. O thou, my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is. Be stirred up his holy name, and magnify and bless. Bless, O my soul, the Lord thy God, and not forgetful be. Of all his gracious benefits he hath bestowed on thee. All thine iniquities who doth most graciously forgive, who thy diseases all and pains doth heal and thee relieve. Who doth redeem thy life, that thou to death mayst not go down. O, who thee in loving kindness doth, and tender mercies crown. Who with abundance of good things doth satisfy thy mouth, so that e'en as the eagle's age, renewed is thy youth. And they put that to the tune, and they can play that tune over and over and over and over again, different words, different psalm. And they did a cappella, no instruments at all. There'd be a cantor up in front of the congregation, and they sang at the top of their lungs. It was a beautiful thing to hear. But the psalms are really music. And there's all kinds of music in the psalms, not just one kind. And let me give you the eight categories that some of the Bible scholars have broken the psalms down into. The first category would be the category of objective psalms. Those are these are the facts. This is who God is, not might be, could be, or who I think. This is the fact. That's one group. And that fact is that's the 103rd psalm, the one we read this morning. The fact of God is, blessed is the Lord my God. Second is the subjective psalm. These are how I feel about God, or how I feel about what God says or what God does. These are the subjective psalms. And then there's the prayer psalms. The prayer psalms are those that I pray not just to God, but asking God to notice some of my friends who are in particular. What we were doing earlier here this morning, remember we took the prayers led by David. And then there's the shouting psalms. That's the Hillel psalms. That's the chapter 113 to 118 of the book of Psalms. This is where we get our word hallelujah. The shout is halal, ha, and you shout it out. It's almost like at a football game, you know, where you do a cheer. That would be the halal. And then there's the intense psalms, the intense sorrow, the grieving psalms. Oh, woe is me, Lord God. And then there's the complaint songs. I'm so angry, God, go dig and bash their brains at them, throw them in a pit. You know, like the psalm. There's a couple of those. More than a few, actually. And then there's the Hosanna psalms, the help me, please. This is a psalm that Jesus said on the cross. And the people sang as Jesus comes in on Palm Sunday. And then there's the psalms, the meditation psalms. They're called the humming psalms. That's kind of like, you don't say it real loud, you just kind of hum. So those are the categories, but you know, we here at First Presbyterian Church, we have two worship services, and we have a different kind of music and style in each service. And inevitably, I mean, really, when I first came, but still, people come up and say, Okay, Don, just tell me, which do you really like the best? And I say, I like them both, I love them both, they both have different characters, they bring different things out of me. I mean, I love the grand and great hymns of the church, the profound words and depth of meaning. But I also enjoy the excitement and the passion of praise music. So I love them both. And I think that really fits into the whole kind of context of the book of Psalms, because they're different. They're not the same. And they are all relevant, and they all are important to the people of God praising God. The Psalms, the one we look at today, is an objective psalm. Bless the Lord, all my soul, it begins. Bless the Lord. The word bless is Barak. I know, that's the first name of our last president of the United States, Barak. Bless. Bless means to bow down, to humble yourself before. Bless my soul, O Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. You know, the Greeks like to take things apart. You know, give them names, define them. So if they had a beautiful flower, and they would take the flower and they pull all the petals off and they go, okay, now that's petal one, and there's two, three, four, five, there's 13 petals there, and this is the stamen, and they would take it all. They do the same thing with the human being. You know, the human being is made of mind, soul, and spirit. Now, the Hebrews never did that. Now, the Hebrews said, no, you are a nephesh. You are a human being. You're not If you have a human being with no soul, you don't have a human being. If you have a human being with no mind, you don't have a human being. If you have a human being who has, you have to have, a human being is an entity, a totality. Matter of fact, in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, God creates, in the beginning, God creates the heaven and the earth. And then he goes in and he creates the man, the woman. He creates and he scoops up, where does the human being come? Comes out of the what? The dirt. He takes the dirt. You know what the name of the dirt in Hebrew is? Adam. You say, well, I know, that sounds like Adam's name. It is. Adam's name is Adam because he's made of dirt. He's a dirt bag. But he's not a person yet. God scoops up the earth, and then he breathes. The word is ruah. He breathes his spirit in it, and Adam becomes nephesh. That's human. My mother, as you know, died a couple of months ago. And we will be interring her, taking her remains, her ashes, to a cemetery in Central California. She is not a nephesh now. What she was, what she is what she was before she was born. Adam. Not a nephesh. And the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my nephesh. Me, all of me, my mind, my soul, my body, my future, my past, all that I am, praise the Lord. That's worship. Everything that I bring, give it to God. And let him use it to his glory and your benefit. That's the objective identification of God himself. And it's done in remembering, why are we coming to worship? Why do we do this? I know I have been told by people who don't come to worship that I go to worship because of my tradition or because I want to be seen or because they give me all these reasons. I go, oh, baloney. I go because of what I receive when I worship. God said, the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship the Lord, who I am. Why? Because of who he is. But also because of the benefits. And it lists a whole section of, there are six benefits. Now, if you ever wonder why to go to church, ask yourself, think through what the 103rd Psalm says about worship. Here are just some of the benefits. Now, thinking these through is a good thing. But there are benefits often there that if you don't kind of experience them, you don't even know that they're there. It's sort of like me learning how to swim. Or my son, I'm going to tell you about my son. When he was about 10 or 11 years old, I was noticing that I was the authority on everything. If you wanted to know how to do math, you wanted to do whatever, I was the one. If someone tie knots for Boy Scouts or whatever, I knew more than he did. And I noticed this was not good for our relationship. Although I wanted him to know everything I knew. But anyway, so we were in Scotland, and so we got home, and I said, Graham, I said, how would you, I noticed he really was enchanted with the bagpipes. And I said, Graham, how would you like to learn how to play the bagpipes? I don't know how to play the bagpipes. I know nothing about the bagpipes. I'll learn them with you. And you can teach me, I can teach you, we'll get a teacher, we'll just see how. So we started playing the bagpipes. Well, you know, the competition was good, and the relationship was good, because you know what? He outperformed me, usually, not always, on the bagpipes. And then he went off to college. Well, those bagpipes got him elected student body president of his high school in, of all places, Salt Lake City. A Presbyterian minister's son, student body president. And he marched out on the stage playing his bagpipes, and everybody got up and cheered and elected him president. Well, and then it got him a scholarship, a full scholarship to McAllister College. And then it got him a full scholarship to the Bagpipe College in Glasgow. And on his way, he got robbed in New York City, of course. So what did he do? He went out on the street, opened his bagpipe case, got out his bagpipe, started playing, and in 2 hours, he had $200, and he got on the plane just as good as you can have it. Now, was he thinking about all those benefits when he was practicing with his dad on the bagpipes? Not on your life. But wow, his life would sure have been different if he hadn't have picked up the bagpipes. Now, I'm not suggesting that you pick up the bagpipes. But I am suggesting that you pick up worship. Because you may not even yet know all of the benefits that come from blessing the Lord in worship. A lot more than you ever dreamed of. And here is what the psalmist outlines for us. The psalmist begins, "He forgives all your iniquities." That's the first benefit. And we are soon going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And here is the epitome of forgiveness. The crucified Lord, the Son of God, says, "I forgive you." The benefit is our own forgiveness. He forgives all your iniquities. Second of all, he heals. Heals all your diseases, says the psalmist. When I submit myself to God, yes, I am healed. This is not an academic thing. This is a reality that comes out of our worship and being blessed by God. Third, he redeems my life from the pit. Destruction? Yes, we're all a part of that. If we're not destroying one another, we're destroying ourselves. And what God does is he redeems us from destruction. He heals. He makes whole again. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And he who lives and believes in me shall never die." And he crowns me, says the psalmist, with love and mercy. And he puts the crown on your head, and the crown of mercy. There once was a show about, I think it was the cone of silence. You put it on and you can now talk, say anything you want to and not be blamed for it. This is the crown of mercy that God places on your head. The crown of mercy, God's love. And he satisfies my desires with good things. Literally, he satisfies my mouth with tasty things. And sixth, he renews me like a young eagle. He takes my old habits and improves them, transforms them. He takes my waning hope and he renews it. He takes my anxiety and salves it. God is good, says the psalmist, and when we worship him, things happen to us. It's not just that God has got this big ego that all of a sudden he needs to be worshipped. Oh, come and worship me because I'd be upset if you didn't. No. God loves you so much that he gives you the gift of worship and he says, "Come worship me." Why? Because this is what you get when you do. It's a blessing of you and not just of God. So then the psalmist says, "Now let me tell you about God." You know what? All these benefits happen because of who God is. They don't just happen because they happen. They happen because of who God is. And that's what the psalmist then says. God is the one you can trust. God is the one who will lift you up. Why? Because that's who God is. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. That's who God is. God loves me. Well, how much does he love me? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed my transgressions from me. Well, I've got a lot of transgressions. Maybe they're hanging around. Maybe they're going to still be there to be a problem for me. No. As far as the east is from the west, they're taken away. I'm reminded of the story of a parishioner who was going to her priest, a Roman Catholic priest, going to confessional. And she was in the confessional, and she was talking to the priest, and she said to the priest, you know, I sometimes talk to God, and I sometimes talk to Jesus, and when I do, I really see him right there standing right next to me, and he talks to me, and I understand his language very well, and I just want to know, Father, is this a problem? Is this a sin to think that Jesus really is standing right there, and I can actually see him? The priest said, well, I'm not too sure about seeing him or actually hearing him, but just to kind of check out to see that it really is Jesus, you might just say, next time you see him, you might just ask him, what did the priest confess to you last and his confessional? And then come and tell me, said the priest, what he said. Well, about a week later, this parishioner is back and says to the priest says to the parishioner, well, so how did it go? I mean, did you talk to Jesus and did you see him and did you ask him about my what I said to him? And the parishioner said, yeah, he was standing right there, Jesus was, and he was really talking to me. And the priest said, well, did you ask him what I confessed to him in my privacy with him? And the parishioner said, yeah. And the priest says, well, what did he say to you? And the prisoner said, he said, I forget. You see, as far as the east is from the west, God removes our transgressions from us. I forget, says God. But he also remembers. What does he remember? It's out of his love he remembers that we are dust. We are helpless. We are like grass. It grows up and the wind passes over it and it wilts and it's gone and nobody remembers it anymore. God knows that about you and me. He remembers that about you and me. And what does he do about it? What does he do about it? His steadfast love is forever, from everlasting to everlasting. And his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant, remember to do his commandments. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, that's his mighty army, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Oh, and bless the Lord, my soul. Me too. And that's why God gave us this table and this meal and his son Jesus Christ. Because it was on the night in which he was betrayed that Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat all of it, for this you do in remembrance of me. And after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he blessed it. He blessed it and said, this is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the remission of your sin. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you declare my death until I come again, said Jesus. And I, ministering in his name, offer you the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, take these common elements and set them aside for this most sacred purpose, as we would be blessed by you, and as we bless you with our whole soul, our nephesh. Amen. Well, those who are assisting me in